It takes less time to do a thing right than it does to explain why you did it wrong. This is Thought for Today, Dr. Herbert L. Bartley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. It takes less time to do a thing right than it does to explain why you did it wrong. These famous words from Longfellow stand out very, very strongly in the minds of all of us, because we are so in a hurry to get things done. And of course, we seem to think that in a hurry is something that is on this age more than it was on previous ages. But it is timeless. People are like that at all times, in a hurry to get things done. And they do things poorly in the process. We have seen in the construction of the pyramids some areas where things were done poorly and things didn't hold up very well. And then we've seen other areas of the pyramids where they were done exquisitely, and the builder not only took great pride in doing it, but he wanted to make sure that it was done precisely according to the plans. Now, why bother? You know, why bother with something that such big stones is going to cover up everything, if indeed they were built like they were told they're built. But and if they were built like we think they were built, how could there be a place for error in there? Well, that's a good question too. And who is to say what was error and what was not error? So it takes less time to do a thing right than it does to explain why you did it wrong. You know yourself, you have questioned many times people doing this. Well, let's take this onto the spiritual level, although everything is on the spiritual level. Let's just take it onto the spiritual level of realizing, why is it that prayer treatment doesn't work? Well, now, with that attitude, you will find lots of opportunities to find out why it didn't work. Why is it that prayer treatment works? Well, you'll find a lot of reasons why it works. And prayer treatment works because it is done right. Prayer treatment doesn't work because it isn't done right. Now, Longfellow told us that. It takes less time to do a thing right than it does to explain why you did it wrong. Let's just look at prayer treatment, which is the ultimate of what we're working on so seriously here in the monastery and here at the University of Healing. People contact us every day, and they want prayer treatment. We have ministers in the field who send us the name of their special people who are asking for prayer treatment. And our list is quite long. It's not as big as Unity or Religious Science or many of the others, but it's a pretty big list. How many people do we have on there right at the moment on the prayer treatment list? I'm sorry that we don't know. We don't count the things to be done, we just count the things that are done. And we keep taking names off because the healings have taken place. What is it that is the reason that prayer treatment doesn't work? Okay. It takes, you know, less time to do it right than it does to explain what is wrong, but let's just glance at that for a moment. What would be some of the reasons that prayer treatment wouldn't work? I mean, obviously, no results. But a person thinks, I'm whole and perfect, and then the next moment they say, I'm sick. Now, that's a good reason for it not to work. That's called dualism. That's called not being one-pointed. Well, it's not easy to be one-pointed when you have this terrible sickness and you want to speak your word for wholeness. Or when you're dying and you want to speak your word for life, when these things happen, well, thousands and millions of other people around the world have that same experience and they have wholeness. They have healing. You don't know that they're healed. You don't know that they're whole. You don't even know that they're praying, because they were speaking their word so confidently and so beautifully, and everyone around them was seeing them whole and perfect, that they were whole and perfect. Now, let's take an average household. There's Mama and Papa and sisters and brothers and whoever else might be there. And let's say Grandma and Grandpa. Well, now, Grandma and Grandpa are up in years, and they're having the illnesses of the aged that we like to proclaim for that. And so they have to have arthritis. They have to have rheumatism. They have, and I don't want to name anymore, they have to have these things. Well, the children say, oh, Grandma's arthritis. Oh, Grandpa's lumbago. Oh, his bad back. Oh, his problems, you know. And the children should be slapped for saying such terrible things. But who said it first? Mm-hmm. Mama and Papa. And who said it before them? Grandpa and Grandma. They're the ones who should be slapped. No, you don't talk like that. But this is a normal illness of age. And look at my arthritic hands and fingers and feet and things like that. Just look at that. Grandma, you talk like that and you're out of this house. In this house, we only see everybody home perfect. But this is a realistic me. Well, take your realistic you and go and throw it in the dump. Well, that's not a very nice way for a daughter to act. Mama, you taught us, as we came up through the new thought thinking, that we can speak our word, and our word is the law whereunto we speak it. Science today is saying the same thing. Now, if you want to go around saying that it's not so, then it's not so. Now, there's a scientist who is working for one of the great companies, and he is 36 years old, 35, 36, wonderful guy, very nice-looking fellow and a very well-met fellow, and a very sincere fellow. And he has done many scientific projects that have been valid. But he got to feeling so good about himself that he began making things valid. And he began smudging or fudging with the rules, so that his testing, his laboratory testing, would come out beneficial to him. And his colleagues had a great concern, because they couldn't replicate what he did. They couldn't do what he did. And this went on for 2 years. And he wrote, every 8 days he wrote a technical paper, which is rather unusual, and had them published. But again, people could not replicate what he did. And finally, they said to him, point blank, I think that you have improper papers here, that you haven't really done these things. He said, well, I did them. He said, but I needed to push a little bit this way and a little bit this way to make it fit, to make it work. Well, you don't do that with scientific principles. The principle either works right or it doesn't work, you know, because everything you're doing is noble and good. I mean, it's a wonderful thing that you're working on. Like, I'm not saying he's working on these things, but for instance, on cancer and this and that and the other thing, you know. But don't say something is true just because you wish it were, you know. That's not quite going to do it. Well, Herb, you're talking about positive thinking. You're talking about meditations. You're talking about speaking the truth. Oh, where'd that word come from? Speaking the truth. This scientist was not speaking the truth. He was fudging the truth. If he had said to himself, I know that I know that I know, God only knows the answer, he would have had the answers. But no, he felt that he had to know the answers, that he had to be the one, I know this here and I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to push it in the corner until it behaves and happens. Well, When we speak our word, that we are expressing our original purity and integrity, we are not lying. We are doing that. It's just that the outward appearance is not there, but the inward appearance is there. The inward reality is there. Now, we say of this fellow who was fudging on the truth with his scientific experiments, that that was not very noble, not very, very right. And yes, that's true. Do you think that when you say you're whole and perfect, that you are fudging on the truth? Do you think that when you speak your word of your divine reality, that you're fudging on the truth? Is that not true? Is that so? If you don't believe it's true, you shouldn't be saying it. If you don't believe that that is the ultimate for you, you shouldn't be saying it. But when you come to the realization that you're doing it right, you're speaking your word right, as a practitioner, you're not lying. The appearances, one minute are this way, another minute are that way, the appearances are not the reality. That the car hit the tree, that's a fact, and it's an appearance. But is that upon which you're going to build your life? Is that upon which you're going to build your future? Are you always going to hit that tree every time you come in the neighborhood of that tree? No. Scientific revelation would say that you must replicate that incident again and again and again. Well, you see, that's not truth. That's not reality. What we choose to do is to return to our original purity and integrity in our consciousness. In our consciousness. It's not that we've left it. It's not that it's not our reality. It's just that we have chosen to see different movies that make us think life is different than what it appears to be. And it's time we begin to see life just for what it is, our original purity and integrity. See life for the reality that it is. Now, we can take pills, we can go to doctors, we can do all these things, and that's all well and good. But when we are consistent in saying, I'm whole and perfect, Patricia Shivdad, one of our people in New Jersey, New York, she went to the doctor because she had hurt her hand. And the doctor bandaged up her hand and said, ooh, that is really a tough one. You're not going to be able to have full use of that hand ever. And it's going to take quite a while to cure, to heal. And so Patricia went home and she said, my hand is whole and perfect, my hand is whole and perfect, my hand is whole and perfect. And she went to work and she acted as though her hand were whole and perfect. And then the cast was not supposed to come off of her hand for some time, but she felt it was good. So she took the cast off herself. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh my gosh, you took the cast off. And she says, yes, my hand's whole and perfect. And he says, well, so it is. And she didn't say to the doctor, you told me I'd never be able to have full use of this, and you told me this. She said, doctor, I'm God, you know. I am God, God I am. And the doctor said, what did you say? I didn't hear you. She said, oh, yes, you did. But you see, the big point there is that she heard herself. Now, she was foolish to put her hand in that jeopardy and have it be hurt, but once you've done it, now, next step is, do you want it to be good or bad or indifferent? And she wanted it to be good, which is its reality. And so when it came out of that cast, it was just beautiful good. Now, she does this quite frequently. She does this with her patients in the nursing homes where she cares for them. And the patient says, well, I'm about ready to die. And she says, are you ready to die? Do you really want to go? Not really, you know, but my family is ready to dump me, you know. Well, you can live on and be happy and healthy and so forth. And then they live on. And the family comes and says, Mom, I thought you were going to die, you know. And I decided to hang around for a while. And, you know, we can do this. It takes less time to do a thing right than it does to explain why we did it wrong. So when Patricia does things right, She is always speaking her word of truth about herself, always speaking her word of reality. Now, what about you? What about me? When we have some problem or incident in our life, do we first say, oh my God, what a terrible thing has befallen me? Or do we say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, whole and perfect? Do we say it until we irritate the living hell out of ourselves and everybody else? I'm whole and perfect. The appearance doesn't happen to be there, but my reality is I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. It works, and it works beautifully, and it works for the majority of humanity, because the majority of humanity is naive. They don't realize that this is a principle at work, and that it does work. Now, it's up to you and to me to make this claim upon ourselves, and let this principle be our principle. We sort of wandered around the block here a little bit about this, but it takes less time to do a thing right than it does to explain why we did it wrong. And who wants to explain why we did it wrong anyhow? Let's just explain how we did it right. Now, how do we do it right? We speak our word, we claim the truth, and we forevermore say exactly what we want. Now, it's okay to say, I'm dying and I'm dead. It's okay to say, I'm sick, I'm poor, I'm friendless. I amuse myself as I drive down the streets and I see these beggars on the side of the street, the street people, which is kind of a kind way of talking about them. They're still beggars. They say, I'm homeless, please help me. Well, Buster, you got a good healthy body there. You got a good healthy attitude about life. Why don't you just turn it into a more productive vein and go and get yourself a home? You're no different than millions of other people on the face of the earth, except you have the attitude that I'm homeless, so you're homeless. You have the attitude that you haven't got any money, so you haven't got any money. But I guarantee you, and I've said this before, our dear homeless people, our dear beggars, have more money in the bank, if we were to say that, more money in their hand than anyone else. Research has been done, and it's been found out that they make at least $500 to $1,000 a day in begging. Now, that's pretty good, isn't it? And people still fall for it. And what is it that appeals to you about them? They look homeless. They let their beard grow. They let, and women are out there pushing the baby in the baby carriage, you know, in an old, dirty baby carriage, the good ones at home. But, and then, I need help with my baby. I haven't got a home, and I need food. And, you know, what heartless people can drive by and not give something to this poor lady who looks and acts the part so beautifully, you know? Well, what a strange and wonderful world we live in. Now, if she were to turn that around and clean herself up, dress herself up nicely, and have pride in herself, and go and apply for a job someplace, she could do it perfectly. And then she could hire someone to babysit her children. Or if she wants to be at home with her children, she can just marry someone. Men are available all over the place to marry poor women who have children and need someone to take care of them. They love that. They love that. But you don't find them in a bar. You don't find them in places where people like to loosen their morals and loosen their heads and so forth like that. You find, and not necessarily in the church either, because the church is just as radical as the bar. Because people in the churches have a tendency to say, my religion is the only religion, and you must immediately join my religion before you can be in my household, you know. And that's not the judgment we're going to make. Every man, every woman, every child is God. Everyone in the world is God. Everyone is their own church, their own religion. And beautiful people are beautiful people, not because of the church they attend, but because of the spirit of reality that's within them. So, you think I am anti the street people and so forth. I think they're pretty cool. They got a good thing going. They're really milking the scene. But that's okay. Lots of people like to be taken advantage of, and that's just a wonderful thing to do. Just a wonderful thing to do. I read about the Nigerian scam where they're trying to get you to help them take money out of Nigeria, and we receive letters on that, and everybody receives letters. My goodness, they must get a lot of money back because it takes money to send those letters out. And so then in the PC Magazine, Practical Builder, in the, what do I say?
PC Magazine.
And now there's a Personal Computer Magazine. The writers in there twice now have had editorials about the Nigerian thing, because it comes through on the computer, and it comes through as spam. And they said, don't you believe it, don't you believe it. Well, that's only going to make people believe it more. Instead of saying, don't you believe it, say, work on something that's beneficial to you. Work on something that's going to be harmonious for you. Now, what could you work on that's harmonious for you? What you could work on that's harmonious for you is to start speaking your word. Start thinking your thought in a positive vein and bring about beautiful results. We live in a wonderful world. It takes less time to do a thing right than it does to explain why it's wrong. So let's spend our time not for ecology, but for seeing the world as green and beautiful. Not for saving the dolphins, but for seeing the dolphins meeting the need of having more dolphins, populating it even greater. And wherever species are ready to go because they're being chased out of existence, if that species has any desire to continue, then let it be so. But don't have, let's save this, save that. Let's go out and see it already done. See it already fulfilled. And when we do, then we are being tremendous practitioners. Then we're doing it right the first time. And that's all that counts. Well, now you have a lovely day, and think wonderful thoughts, and do wonderful things, and just be your wonderful self. I love you, I love you, I love you.